بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue the reading of the author, الحافظ عبد الغني المقدسي رحمه الله تعالى, reading the work of the author, رحمه الله تعالى عمدة الأحكام, reading from كتاب الصلاة. The author, he mentioned بابو المواقيت, the book of الصلاة and the chapter of the times. أي مواقيت الصلاة, يعني أوقات الصلاة, the times for the prayers, the times for the صلاة, meaning the obligatory صلاة, the obligatory prayer. And likewise, there are non-obligatory prayers likewise that have specific times as well. But with regards to the obligatory prayer, we have seen that this is a condition from the conditions of salat. من شروط الصلاة دخول الوقت, دخول الوقت. From the conditions of the prayer and the correctness of the salah and the fact that it will be accepted and considered sahiha, yani correct and sound, is that the time has entered and it's the proper time for the particular prayer. So دخول الوقت شرط نصيحة الصلاة, that the entrance of the time and the fact that the time has come is a condition, and the time of that particular prayer is a condition from the conditions of the salah. But likewise, the ulama, they mentioned also دخول الوقت سبب لوجوبها, that likewise the entrance of the time for the particular prayer, is the reason for it becoming obligatory. For example, right now is the time of Al-Maghrib. So whenever the time of Al-Maghrib has begun and the sun has set, then at this time Al-Maghrib becomes obligatory upon the Muslims to perform it. Before that, Maghrib was not obligatory. After the setting of the sun, which is the time of the particular prayer, Al-Maghrib, then it becomes obligatory upon them to pray it. And likewise, for example, Al-Isha right now is not obligatory upon the Muslims in these lands where we live now to pray. But whenever the time of Maghrib goes out and the time of Isha comes in, بِدُخُورِ وَقْتِ الْعِشَى تَجِبُ الصَّلَاةِ صَلَاةُ الْعِشَى عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ. So then we see that دُخُورُ الْوَقْتِ شَرْطٌ لِصِحَةِ الصَّلَاةِ وَسَبَبٌ لِوُجُوبِهَا وَسَبَبٌ لِوُجُوبِهَا, that the entrance of the particular time of the prayer it is a condition for the correctness of the salah, and likewise it is the reason for the salah to become obligatory. It is the reason at that time for that particular prayer to become obligatory. Likewise, barakallahu fikum, دخول الوقت من آكد شروط الصلاة. دخول الوقت من آكد. The ulama, they mention that the time and the entrance of the time for the particular prayer is from the most emphasized conditions of the prayer. From the most emphasized conditions of the prayer is the proper time, that it is performed in the proper time. Even to the extent, the emphasis on this particular condition is so great and stern that even some of the other conditions could be neglected and could be left off in certain situations, giving preference to the condition of دخول الوقت, of the entrance of the time of the prayer and the time and the prayer being performed in the proper time. So some conditions in certain instances, for example, tahara. If a person is not upon tahara and he does not have water, and he's not going to find water after the time of salat has ended, and this is what appears to him and the situation that he is in, that he does not expect to find sufficient water to perform the tahara with before the time of the prayer leaves, then at this time he will make tayammum. And he will pray, giving preference to the time. Maybe he will say, "Oh, I will have some water possibly, but it will be after the time of prayer has ended." He's not expecting to have water or to find water in a situation until after the time of prayer has ended. So at this time, he will not make he will make tayammum, and he will pray in the proper time. Even if an individual was in a situation where he did not have water, and he likewise did not have the means to make tayammum, he did not have pure dirt from the earth. He does not have water, and he does not have pure dirt from the earth. And the example of a person, for example, in the hospital, may Allah cure the sick from the Muslims, and give us and our families good health, and likewise the Muslims, and to be thankful for that. But if an individual was trying with the sickness, for example, and he's in the hospital, and he's not able to move, and he's not able to make wudu, or he's sick and he can't make wudu, the water will harm him, and the likes like this, and he doesn't have tayammum, or he's not able to also find the turab, he doesn't have it, or he's not able to make the tayammum, then at this time he will pray in the manner that he is, in the state that he's in. He will pray if the time is going out and for the prayer, and he's not able to make the wudu or the tayammum, he's physically not able, and because he does not have the means, and he physically, or because the water is not there for him, or he cannot reach it, or because the pure earth is not available for him likewise, and the time is about to go out, then preference will be given to the time, and he will pray in the manner and in the state that he is in before the time goes out for that particular prayer. Before the time goes out for that particular prayer, he'll pray in the state that he's in. And then if he finds water later, he does not have to redo the prayer. He does not have to redo the prayer. The obligation of that particular prayer is raised from him, and he feared Allah as much as he can and he could in that situation. And Allah, he says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, and fear Allah as much as you can. So from here we see the great mistake that some of the people make. And this mistake occurs because of ignorance. And in reality, it is something that is dangerous. And that sometimes whenever an individual, he may be sick, and maybe he's in the hospital, for example, or he's sick in the cases like this, and he's not able to purify himself properly, and he's not able to cleanse or clean his clothing, for example, from the najasat that are on him because he's in a bed, or he's not able to get up to make the wudu with the water, and he does not have the tayammum available. So some of them, they'll have a shubha, and they will think that since they don't have tahara, they don't have to pray, and they will not pray, and they will delay the time of the prayer until it goes out. And this person here is in a dangerous situation, because it's an obligation upon every Muslim who is sane, who has his mind, and he is sane in his mind and his intellect, to pray at the proper time. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. That verily the prayer has been prescribed and ordained and made obligatory upon the believers at specific times. So if he were to delay it from its time, and he with this misunderstanding, and then die in that state, he would die in a state of disobedience and in sin. It's a sin, rather a great sin, to delay the prayer from its time. And he does not have an excuse, and unless one has a legislated excuse, and these will be discussed inshallah. But the point is the reality of the importance of observing the proper time of the prayer, and giving preference to this condition, and understanding the obligation of performing the prayer in the proper time, and the emphasis with regards to this. Because of this, Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he has mentioned a very beneficial statement about the affair of the condition of the time of the prayer. He said, rahimahullah, فَلَوَقْتُ مُهَيْمِنٌ عَلَى بَقِيَةِ الشُّرُوطِ فَالْوَقْتُ مُهَيْمِنٌ عَلَى بَقِيَّةِ الشُّرُوطِ. That the time, the time of the particular prayer, the prescribed time, it is in charge, and it is predominant and ruling, and is given preference over the rest of the conditions. يعني مهيمن, meaning it is in charge, and ruling on top of, and predominant, and has preference over the rest of the conditions. He says, what he had that, يَنْبَغِي الْمُحَافَظَةُ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ فِي وَقْتِهَا. So because of this, what is incumbent is to maintain and preserve the salat in its proper time. حَتَّى وَلَوْ فَاتَتْ بَعْضُ الشُّرُوطِ. Even if some of the other conditions were to not be fulfilled. كَالطَّهَارَةِ وَالسَّتْرُ الْعَوْرَةِ. For example, like tahara, and also like covering the private parts. These are all conditions of salat. The entrance of the time for it to be performed in the proper time, likewise from the conditions of tahara, and likewise from the conditions to cover one's private parts properly, the private parts with regards to the prayer. The private parts, the awrah, is, in general, is one issue, and the awrah in salat is another issue. So if an individual, he did not have the clothing properly to cover his awrah that is required for the prayer, or her, likewise, and the time is about to go out, he will pray in that state, or she will pray in that state, giving preference to the time. As the Shaykh, he mentioned, فَالْوَقْتُ مُهَيْمِنٌ عَلَى بَقِيَةُ الشُّرُوطِ. The statement is very beneficial. الْوَقْتُ مُهَيْمِنٌ عَلَى بَقِيَةُ الشُّرُوطِ. That the time, and the time of the prayer, it is in charge, given preference, and is predominant, and ruling over the rest of the conditions. Over the rest of the conditions. Likewise, barakallahu fikum, the people of knowledge have mentioned wisdoms and great benefits for a believer to ponder over and to reflect upon with regards to the times of the prayer. And that the prayer is obligatory, this is an issue, but it's obligatory at different times throughout the day. It's not obligatory all at one time. And the obligatory prayer, if we look at it all together, it's 17 rak'ah. Sab'a ashrata rak'atan. 17 rak'ah. If all of these rak'at, all of these 17 rak'ah were made obligatory at one time, were made obligatory at one time, this would be difficult for a believer. At one time he has to pray 17 rak'ah. At one time. Not to mention that it's required for a believer to have humbleness and humility. And the goal of the prayer is to have a relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal, and to be connected to Allah, and to remember Allah Azza wa Jal, and to have at-tumanina, and to have tranquility in the prayer. And to have tranquility in the prayer. If one had to pray 17 raka'at at one time, this would be difficult for him to maintain focus. For him to even perform those raka'at all at one time. It would be hard for him, and maybe he would become bored with worship because of this, the heaviness of the worship, or maybe he would not even be able to perform it. But the prayer has been set at different times in the day. At different times in the day. Sometimes it's only 2 rak'ah, other times it's 4, other times it's 3, and they're in different times, separated throughout the day and the night time. This is making it easy on the believer. And this is making it easy on the believer to be able to fulfill that obligation and to pray those 17 rak'ah and to be humble during that prayer and to benefit from that prayer and to have khushu' and humility and the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal at that time. And it only takes from his day a few moments from time to time. So there's a great wisdom in setting in these different times, and it's beneficial for the believer. Likewise, from the wisdom that the wisdoms that the ulama they mention is that the Muslims, they're unified, and they all pray the morning prayer at the same time, and whether they pray at the exact same time, but in the same window of time. And likewise, the Dhuhr and the Asr and the Maghrib and the Isha, all of the Muslims all over the world, they're united in this, and they pray together the same prayer in the same window in the same time. And the same, in this manner, they're unified in their actions of worship, and they're unified in their bodies. And this is a goal of the Sharia for the believers to be unified in their hearts upon the same creed and belief, and to be unified in their bodies likewise, together, one body and one community and one jama'ah. And in this manner, they're strong. And in this manner, they're strong. And from this, we see that many of the ibadat, they are performed together. Rather, the pillars of al-Islam, from them is salat. For men, it's an obligation for them to perform it in the congregation. And the Jumu'ah likewise. And likewise, the fasting is in 1 month. All of them fast the same month. And the Hajj is at the same time, in the same place. And they're all united together, performing these great actions of worship to show the unity of this deen, and likewise the oneness of their Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one whom they worship is one, and their deen is one. And their methodology and their way is one. And they want the pleasure of the one. Al-Ahad, Al-Samad, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, from these wisdoms that the people of knowledge, they mention with regards to the times of the prayer, is that they're legislated at different times throughout the day. And this is so that the believer will go throughout his day and night always having a relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal, and always having a connection to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And the salat, even some of the ulama have mentioned linguistically, it's from the word sila. Sila is from wasala. Sila, silatun, which means a relationship and a connection. So the salat is the connection and the relationship, the connection from the servant to his Lord, from the abd to his Rabb, بين العبد وبين ربه وخالقه, from the servant and from the individual, the connection between him and his Lord and his Creator. Yani the prayer is this connect, is the means for this connection and this relationship. And rather the most beneficial portion of the prayer and the point of the prayer is the remembrance of Allah. وَأَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, and establish the prayer for my remembrance. And the essence of the prayer is the khushu' and the humbleness and humility that the heart finds in the prayer. And this comes from what the ulama, they mention, al-munajat. Al-munajat. Munajat al-abd bi-rabbi. أو المناجات التي تكون بين العبد وربه. المناجات is the private consultation, the private consultation and the private conversation and consultation that goes on between the slave and his Lord during the prayer. Whenever the servant is communicating with Allah, and he is calling on Allah, and he is hoping in Allah, and he's reading the words of Allah and pondering over the words of Allah. If one wants to know what Allah is saying, then read his book. And then if one wants to speak to Allah, then he makes dua. And this is the Quran, this is the salat. There's the recitation of the Quran, and then there's supplication and praises and remembrance and the supplication of Allah to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So whenever this is legislated in the morning, and then again in the afternoon, and then in the late afternoon, and then at the sunset, and then at nighttime, so the believer, he spends his whole day and his whole life in this manner, connected to Allah Azza wa Jal, remembering Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and having this consultation with Him, and having this relationship with His Creator, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And we remember that great benefit that the ulama, they mentioned likewise in this manner, the salat was made obligatory, and the rest of the actions of worship, they were the obligation of them and the legislation of them was sent down from Allah Azza wa Jal to the earth and to the Prophet while he's upon earth. But for the obligation of the salat, the Prophet, he was raised to Allah, and he was raised to a place even Jibril, he cannot go. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went before Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah spoke to him directly without any wasita or mediator. The angel Jibril, he did not speak to him in this issue or reveal to him the obligation of salat. Rather, it was a direct munajat and private counsel between Allah and his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in that private counsel, the prayer was made obligatory. The prayer was made obligatory. So therefore, likewise, it's made obligatory in these different times so that the slave and the servant and the believer will keep this relationship with Allah and this connection with Allah and this munajat, this private consultation and private counsel between the servant and between his Lord, between the servant and between his Lord. So the author, he mentioned now, after mentioning the chapter title, he mentioned the narration. He says, "Rahimahullah, an Abi Amr al-Shaybani, wasmuhu Sa'd ibn Iyas, qala hadathani sahibu hadhihi ad-dar, wa ashara biyadihi ila dari Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu." The author, he mentioned that it has been narrated from Abi Amr al-Shaybani, and his name is Sa'd ibn Iyas. And this narrator, he's from the Tabi'een, and he's a thiqah. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that the owner of this home has narrated to me, and then he pointed to the house of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He said the owner of this home, he's telling his students and those learning from him and those whom he's narrating to, and he pointed with his finger to this house. He said the owner of this house, and he pointed with his finger to the house of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he said to me, he narrated to me. Naam, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he is what has been mentioned about him, radiallahu anhu, that he is sadisu sitta fil Islam, that he is the sixth of six into Islam. He is the sixth of six people, meaning that he is min as-sabiqin al-awwalin, radiallahu anhu, and the believers, they love him. And likewise, his mother also was a believer, radiallahu anha, and they used to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a lot. And the Prophet and Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he was from those who was blessed with knowledge of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and knowledge of the Sunnah and understanding of the Quran. And he was from the best of those who recited the Quran, and he was from the best of the fuqaha and the ulama of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu. And he was known to the companions as the one who resembled the Prophet the most sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his demeanor and in his manners and his conduct and the way that he carried himself, radiallahu anhu. And therefore his students, they used to likewise follow him in that manner. So he mentioned in this narration that Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he's telling Abi Amr radiallahu anhu, radiallahu an Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he says, سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أي العمل أحب إلى الله. He said, I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which deeds are most beloved to Allah. قال الصلاة على وقتها. He said, to perform the prayer at its proper time. قلت ثم أي. He said to him, and then I said, which prayer? قال بر الوالدين. He said, after that, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, obedience to the parents. قلت ثم أي. And then I said to him, then after that, which one? He said, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم الجهاد في سبيل الله, to fight and to strive in the path of Allah. قال رضي الله عنه حدثني بهن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولو استزدته لزادني. He said, رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he narrated to me these affairs, and if I were to ask him again, he would increase me. I mean, if I would ask him to give me more, which is next, then he would have told me. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we see here that Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, from his diligence to learn and from his desire to know that which is beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is not a question simply to have knowledge, but rather it is a question in order to obtain knowledge that will be coupled with action. So he's asking, which is the deed? Which deed is most beloved to Allah? Not so just so that he can know, oh, this is deed is beloved to Allah and that deed is beloved to Allah. Rather, he's asking so that he can know, in order to apply that. Because he is from those righteous and pious people who is hoping for the love of Allah. And a believer, he's like this, and he hopes for the love of Allah. And likewise, we must understand, as the companions understood, radiallahu anhum, that there are deeds that are beloved to Allah. There are actions that are beloved to Allah. And for this reason, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he came to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he asked this question. He said, what did he say? Sa'altu nabi, I asked the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this great question, ayyul amal ahabbu ila Allah, what deeds are most beloved to Allah? What deed is most beloved to Allah? In one wording, ayyul amali afdal, which deed is most virtuous? So we see this is the diligence of the companions to learn, and that the intention behind their learning and the goal and the aim of them seeking knowledge, radiallahu anhum, is in order to apply it. And likewise, a believer, he follows upon their footsteps. And the one who is upon al-manhaj al-salafi, likewise, he learns with this intention. That's what the salaf were upon. They were upon seeking knowledge. They were people of knowledge, and they were students of knowledge, but they sought knowledge to apply it. They sought knowledge to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jalla by way of it. They sought knowledge to remove the ignorance from themselves in order to worship Allah upon insight, and to help others do that as well. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he responded with this beautiful response, clarifying the virtue of the salat, particularly at the beginning of its time. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, الصلاة على وقتها. الصلاة على وقتها. أي الأعمال يحب إلى الله؟ What are the deed? Which deed is most beloved to Allah? What is intended in this question here? Which deed? أي العمل أي البدني. أي العمل أو أي الأعمال البدنية. Which deed? يعني deeds of the body. يعني the actions of the body parts. Which one of these actions of the body parts is most beloved to Allah? And this is what is understood from this particular question. And it has come in other narrations that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has mentioned that أفضل الأعمال إيمان بالله. And this is متفق عليه من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. That the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said the most virtuous deeds is to believe in Allah. إيمان بالله. So this is with regards to the deeds of the heart, the actions of the heart. But also from iman is the actions of the body parts. And this is the question of Abdullah bin Mas'ud here in this narration. He's asking about which of the deeds and of the actions that are performed with the body part. With the body parts, which of these actions are most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal? Which of these actions are most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal? Naam, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, As-salatu ala waqtiha. As-salatu ala waqtiha. The salat upon its proper time or at its proper time. And in one narration, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, As-salatu li waqtiha. So in this narration here, the author he mentioned, or in this wording, As-salatu ala waqtiha. And in other narrations, likewise in Bukhari and Muslim, As-salatu li waqtiha. Instead of ala, li. As-salatu li waqtiha. Likewise, it has been narrated from Farwa at Ansariya, radiyallahu anha. A similar question was posed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she was attending, and she was present. Radiyallahu anha, Farwa at Ansariya. She said, سُئِلَ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَفْضَلِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked, which of the deeds are most virtuous? فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة لأول وقتها. الصلاة لأول وقتها. The prayer at its very first time. The prayer at its very first time. And this is a very great benefit of this narration, because as the ulama, they mention النصوص يفسر بعضها بعضا والأحاديث تفسر بعضها بعضا والآيات كذلك تفسر بعضها بعضا. The text and the evidences, they explain and they clarify each other. And the Quran, there are verses in the Quran, and one verse will clarify another verse. And likewise, the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they clarify each other. So by gathering the narrations with regards to a particular issue, then we will be able to see that which is intended. So as-salatu ala waqtiha, or as-salatu li waqtiha, what is intended here is not the salat upon its time, yani in general, but rather لِأَوَّلِ وَقْتِهَا, as Farwa رضي الله عنها, she has narrated. This narration is found in Sunan Abi Dawood, and likewise in Jami' Tirmidhi, and authenticated by Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. So then the intent here is الصَّلَاةُ عَلَى وَقْتِهَا أَوْ الصَّلَاةُ لِوَقْتِهَا, يعني الصَّلَاةُ لِأَوَّلِ وَقْتِهَا. So then the most virtuous deed, or the deed that is most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jalla, is performing the obligatory prayer at the first of its time. The first of its time, or at its first time. And whenever it first enters. And this is in general, but we will see that there are some circumstances whenever the prayer at the first of the time is not preferred. But rather there are certain times whenever it's preferred for the prayer to be delayed. And this is only in certain circumstances, like al-Dhuhr, whenever it's very hot. Or like Salat al-Isha, this is an exception. It's preferred to be delayed a bit later. But in general, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clarifying here in this narration that the most beloved deed to Allah and the most virtuous deed is to perform the obligatory prayer at the beginning of its time, at the first of its time. So therefore we understand and we benefit from this narration that as-salatu li-awwal al-waqti afdaru أفضل من غيرها. Yani that the prayer at the beginning or the first of its time is better and more virtuous. Naam, and also understood from the statement of the Prophet, As-salatu ala waqtiha, yani ala waqtiha, this means yani at its proper time, meaning after the time has entered properly and known. Yani that the most beloved deed to Allah is the prayer, the obligatory prayer performed at the first of its time, meaning after that time has entered clearly and one knows that it has entered. And one shouldn't hasten and the likes, but rather one should be sure and certain that the time has entered. Ala waqtiha, that it has entered and the prayer has begun, and after one has certain knowledge that the particular prayer, that the time of that particular prayer has entered, and now after that knowledge, then performing that prayer at the first of its time is better and more virtuous and more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore we see that if there were three individuals, for example, the ulama, they make examples in this manner, that if there were three individuals, the first one, he prayed the salat at the first of its time. For example, salat al-dhuhr, as an example. The first one, he prayed salat al-dhuhr at the beginning of its time. And another individual, the second one, he prayed salat al-dhuhr in the middle of its time, yani without any excuse, which is permissible. It's permissible for him. Naam, but he prayed it at the middle of its time, without being preoccupied or anything like that, just he delayed it to the middle of its time, which is not haram for him. It's not haram. And then there's a third person who delayed it to the end of its time, and without an excuse. So there are three people. The first one prayed at the first of its time, and the other one in the middle of its time, and the other one at the end of its time. The one who has the most virtue and the greatest reward with Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who prayed at the first of its time. This is what is understood from this narration. As-salatu ala waqtiha, aw as-salatu li waqtiha, yani as-salat li aw li waqtiha, kama jaa fi hadithi Farwa radiyallahu anha. So all three of these individuals, their prayer is correct. Their prayer is correct. The first one who prayed in the beginning, his prayer is correct. And the one who prayed in the middle, his prayer is correct. And the one who prayed in the end, his prayer is correct. And he fulfilled the obligation. All three of them, they fulfilled the obligation. But the one who has the greatest reward and the one who is most virtuous is the one who performed that deed and the salat at the beginning, at the beginning of its time. So then we see the importance of the time, and likewise performing the prayer at the beginning of its time. Performing the prayer at the beginning of its time. This one is more virtuous. But like I mentioned, there are some examples or some exceptions to that particular ruling and understanding, and inshallah we will touch on some of those details to come. After this, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he mentioned, okay, after that, what's next? He said, Birr walidain, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obedience to the parents. And we see in this order, after that, the most beloved deed is to be obedient to the parents. Is to be obedient to the parents. And this is a great right. And from the people, those who have the most right of obedience and of kindness and to be treated in the best manner, they're the parents. They're the parents. And there are many verses that establish this. And Allah, He mentioned, وَشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ وَإِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ. Show thanks to me and to your parents. And to me is the return. Meaning the parents, they have a right that Allah has given them. And you will return to Allah Azza wa Jal, and He will hold you accountable for His right and for their right. And likewise, the rest of them, of mankind, their rights they have as well. But those from the people who have the greatest right, they're the parents. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has coupled the mention of His right and the right of the parents in many verses. He has mentioned subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And your Lord has decreed that you should not worship no one except for Him, and that you must be obedient and good to your parents. وَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And worship Allah alone, and do not associate any partners with Him, and be obedient and kind and nice to your parents. And there are other verses likewise, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has clarified this issue. قُلْ تَعَالُوا أَتْلُوا مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And there are narrations like this, ayat in this manner. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned His right first to be worshipped alone with no partners, and then after that mentioned the right of the parents, and the ulama, they mentioned this is to show show emphasis and the importance of the obedience and the kindness to the parents, that His right is coupled with their right, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He mentioned it in this manner. And then after this, the Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, thumma ay. And then which deed after that? He said, Al-jihadu fi sabilillah, to strive and to fight in the path of Allah. To strive and to fight in the path of Allah. and to open up the lands and to make way for the da'wah to spread. And the jihad, which is referred to in the text whenever it's mentioned in this manner, to fight the disbelievers with weapons. And so that لِإِعْلَاءِ كَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ هَذَهُ الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, so that the statement of Allah, لا إله إلا الله, will be highest, and so that the da'wah al-Islamiyah can be spread, and so that the people can be brought from the darkness into the light of al-Islam, and so that the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be established, and the sharia can be applied in the lands, and in this manner the servants and the people, they will have mercy. They will have mercy. But likewise, from that which the people of knowledge have considered to be from jihad is seeking knowledge, learning and teaching. And this is because just as those who fight with weapons, they open up and conquer the lands, and they open up the lands for the mercy to spread and for the da'wah to spread, the people of knowledge, the scholars and the students of knowledge who are upright, likewise, they open up the hearts for the light of the Qur'an and the sunnah to enter. As the mujahidun, يَفْتَحُونَ الْبِلَادِ تُلَابُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْعُلَمَاءِ الْعُلَمَاءُ وَالْتُلَابُ الْعِلْمِ يَفْتَحُونَ الْقُلُوبِ يَفْتَحُونَ الْقُلُوبِ, they're opening up the hearts of the people by directing them and guiding them. So this is from the most virtuous deeds and beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even here the ulama have mentioned also to emphasize the greatness of the right and the emphasis of the right of the parents that it's mentioned before, al-jihadu fi sabilillah, that their right comes before striving and fighting in the path of Allah azza wa jalla. And because of this, there was a man who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he traveled to him and he left his parents behind, and he wanted to make jihad with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, ahayyun walidak, are your parents alive? He said, yes. He said, فَفِيهِمَا فَجَاهِدْ, and then you should strive in their obedience. And don't come with me and to jihad, rather stay with your parents and strive to be obedient to them and to do good to them. Naam, and to do good to them. There are fawa'id and benefits from this narration, inshallah, we'll discuss in the class to come. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.